we continue our study on the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator. And tonight's devotion, Understanding Authority. Ecclesiastes 8, 1 to 8. Verse 1, our introduction. And verses 2 to 5 and 6 to 8, two thoughts. Submission, subjection. Two thoughts that God wants us to think and consider today. Wisdom from on high. Solomon imparts wisdom in this text concerning our attitude and response toward authority. The government that God has set over us. The commentator Matthew Henry said very well. He says, the wise man is the good man that knows God and glorifies him, knows himself and does well for himself. His wisdom is a great happiness to him, for it advances him above his neighbors and makes him more excellent than they. Heavenly wisdom will make a man an incomparable man. No man without grace, though he be learned or noble or rich, is to be compared with a man that has true grace and is therefore accepted of God. It makes himself useful among his neighbors and very serviceable to them. So the man of God is a blessing to the world. When you are a child of God and you have the Spirit of God in you and the Word of God in your heart, you can be an instrument for God to use to bless the world. And verse 1 provides for us an apt introduction. Who is as the wise man? So it begins with a question. And who knows the interpretation of a thing? Now, he tells us concerning life and the handling of life. How do you make decisions in life? What do you do when you are confronted with various choices in life? So he tells us that the wise man, God endowed with solution, that's the word there, to life's problems. God provides for him by his wisdom and explanation how certain events, certain things that is happening around him, whether it's relationship, whether it's circumstances, is to be understood. And how is he to respond to the various circumstances to his life? And, you know, this wisdom, this word interpretation, there has the meaning of hidden secret, not so obvious explanation of something. And so, wisdom from God, insight into life, is something that God has to give. I could think of the countenance of young Daniel after he refused to defile himself with the king's meat that was offered to idols. That is divine wisdom in action. He would rather please God than to please men. And look at how he fared in life. Daniel 1 verse 8 to 10 speaks about his conviction. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that which he drank. Therefore he requested for the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So first thing was that he had that inclination in his heart to obey God and his instructions. And look what happened. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. So he explained to him, you don't want to eat this food. You put me in a difficult position. My head is at stake. And Daniel replied. Watch the wisdom that God would give to him. Out of a conviction to obey God, to trust God, to walk with God. It says here, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pals to eat and water to drink. Then our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented in that man to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And the end of Daniel chapter 1 says, now at the end of the days that the king had said he would bring them in, bring all these young people from the various lands into his court to be trained, to be his ambassadors in his vast kingdom. And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel and his friends. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So you see, truly, a man's wisdom, right? Heavenly wisdom, maketh his face to shine. And our text tells us, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights with God alone in Mount Sinai. And Exodus 34 verse 29 says, and it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that God wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. They saw the strength of his face, the boldness of his countenance. And it alluded here, right, to what Solomon is saying, a man who has met with God, who has received his wisdom to live well in the sight of God. Very interesting. As you spend time, you know, we begin the new year in your communion with God, in your devotion with God, you find that God is going to grant to you a different countenance. Right? You take time to pray, take time to be before God. God's wisdom will be endowed upon you. Your countenance will be different when you begin your day, when you are facing the challenges in life. God give you the wisdom to handle each opportunity, each circumstances that come your way. So blessed the Christian. And that's what Solomon is saying here, that we are to realize, right, that as a man of God, when you draw close to God, God's wisdom comes to you. And so the writer, Charles Swindoll, he said, he has a clear mind, not madded up. He's able to see through a matter. That's from me. and offers a comprehensive solution to a matter at hand. So the Lord is saying here that if you would take time to be with God, take time to pray, take time to imbibe the wisdom of God, and be filled with the Spirit of God, then God is going to guide you through the decisions and the moments of life that is offered before you. And he tells us this wisdom concerning authority. This is what we are looking at here. Considering authority, verses 2 to 5. Submission to authority, that's our thought from verses 2 to 5. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. A very interesting perspective there. This passage. Again, I quote Sundo. He says, addresses primarily the responsibility of those under a leader's authority to submit to that authority. But it also teaches us the importance of a leader's words. So two things that are spoken here. It speaks about our realm in terms of relationship with superiors. And then from verses 6 to 8, he would tell us, in the realm of the overall authority of God in your life, through various circumstances, things that you cannot understand that befalls you, realize that there is an authority in heaven that is in charge of all things concerning your life. So here our text tells us, to obey the leader's instruction, do such as are not contrary to the will of God. Right. So as we look at it, the powers that are placed above us, we are to realize that they are come of God. The Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power that but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power, and do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to exact wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are ministers, they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so, in the workplace, right, if you were to apply this text, listen to the instruction of your supervisor carefully and do them as you are instructed. In the king's court, the officers in the kingdom have to give an oath of allegiance. That's the word oath, of the oath of God, to obey the king's instructions. In the church, we come into membership, we affirm before God to obey the leaders whom God has set over this church, as well as be subject to their discipline. And the Lord wants us to see and understand that we must not function alone. We must not be an authority unto ourselves. He tells us we have to have the right attitude towards authority. Verse 3 says, "Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." What is it telling us? Be willing to be a blessing. Be not hasty to do your own things. Realize that this authority is ordained of God, and therefore be willing to obey. And what does this entail? How do we behave ourselves in the workplace? 1 Peter 2:12-15 tells us, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may glorify your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that in well-doing ye may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And so the Christian, in the ordinance of God, when God teaches us how we ought to be serving him in the world out there, is this, that we are a people that truly, you said, suffer from insisting our rights. So difficult, isn't it? But here, the Lord tells us that in so doing, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And Colossians 3:22-25 says, "Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons." So when we work and serve, we have to have a right perspective that we are serving God, and therefore we do all things with diligence and heart for the atonement, for the glory and honor of God. I was given a book called Spiritual Authority, and I make a check. It was written by this Chinese writer, Watchman Nee, and he said, it is written that we are to realize that all things are created through God's authority, and all physical laws of the universe are maintained by his authority. Hence, it expresses it as upholding all things by the word of his power. Remember Hebrews 1:3, that God is not only the creator of all things, but he is the sustainer of all things. How does he sustain it? Well, by the power of his authority. And the Lord wants us to see God's authority represents God himself. And the Lord wants us to see that God alone is authority in all things. And all authorities of the earth are instituted by God. And we are to realize that we are under authority. And therefore, he said, it is imperative for us who desire to serve God to know the authority of God. The archangel turned into Satan. When he overreached God's authority, he competed with God and thus became an adversary of God. Rebellion was the cause of Satan's fall. Scary, isn't it? As we think of it, just by five thoughts. And it must cost us to always check ourselves, check our motives, check what we do, that it must be indeed subjected to the will, purpose, and honor and glory of God. And so Solomon is telling us that do not be afraid of authority, but be willing to work under authority. That's a big blessing. Something that we don't realize because, you know, of the fallen nature that is in us. But the man of God, the spiritual man, would have understood and know. And then from verses 6 to 8, he tells us that God not only gives us wisdom, right? How we are to realize, right? And it is both ways, all right? It is both ways. Okay, the Lord wants us to see and understand. And subjection is the next thought now from verses 6 to 8. Because to every purpose here there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? So he tells us that the wise man's heart, right, quoting Matthew Henry, discerns time and judgment. A man's wisdom will go a long way. But few are ready, as we observed, for sudden evils and especially sudden deaths. Even the wisest may yet be surprised by calamity, which they had not any foresight of. Therefore, it is our wisdom to expect and prepare for sudden changes. So he tells us that, you know, there is the authority of man, but there is also the authority that comes through changing circumstances, right? The situation that comes. And oftentimes, you know, when we face changing circumstances in life, we resist and we reject, and oftentimes we become sad and bitter. It can be the situation of a loss of job. Why like that? How come? God must have a purpose. God is still in charge, and God is still on the throne. I could think of the example of Joseph when he was in prison. Life was quite miserable, and God gave him wisdom to interpret the dreams of two of the king's servants, the butler and the cook. And he interpreted them correctly, and he told one of them that if you are reinstated in the palace, do not forget me. I did you good to help you. But he was forgotten for 2 years. He was left hanging there in prison. Now, if you are Joseph, you must be wondering, what is going on in my life? Why calamity after calamity? I thought God is doing something good for me. Then, now, it's all gone again. You know? So, we have that tendency to want to read into circumstances and to judge God by our feeble senses. Our text tells us that don't do that. Don't do that. Be willing to subject yourself to the leading of God in your life. And that is, there is an authority that is over us. We said that God has planned our life from beginning to the end, in which we do not have that full knowledge. But God is working out His purpose, His plan for our lives. That is a good plan, because He loves us. We are His people. And He wants us to know that. And so, it took Him 2 years before the king had another dream, and they realized that they could not solve the dream. And then one man remembered, hey, there is that prisoner there. He can interpret dreams. And then they called for him. So that morning when he had his breakfast, you know, he didn't realize that by the end of the day, he would be feasting at the king's table. Life changes. And we see the seasons of life. And oftentimes we don't know how to explain and cannot understand. And wisdom has it for us that, you know, we must be willing to wait upon God. Right? Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, in the sense that if he is not willing to be the clay in the potter's hand, God does it whatsoever he pleases. Of course, we have that responsibility to live the best we can. So, in the prison, what did Joseph do? He was a help to the prison keeper. We do our part wherever God puts us in, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to be a strength, to do good to the people around us. And verse 8 says, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. What is he saying here? He says that man is powerless over the happenings in his life, but he is even more especially powerless when God summons him to eternity. He has no power over the day of his death. It's that battle at the end of life. Man always loses. He cannot avoid the day of his leaving this mortal world. And that is why we may begin the year. Things are good, seem to be well. But we are to be prepared, to be willing to see the hand of God through the events of life. That's what Solomon is trying to convey to us. Sometimes it's difficult to accept, difficult to live during those times. But he tells us that wisdom it is for us to be subject to the will of God in his purpose. And so it brings us to the theme of our series. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Be ready to meet your Creator. Be submitted to the sound of the gospel, that we may be freed from the bondage of sin and granted eternal life. This is true wisdom. And this is the conclusion of the matter. When we are willing to repent of our sins, willing to forsake ourselves, surrender ourselves to God, to let God lead us, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's where we begin to understand that indeed we are puny creatures in God's hand, and yet precious. Unworthy, and yet worthy. And so it's interesting. God would lead us in his study. And we are now in chapter 8. By chapter 12, we would complete the book. In another few weeks, we will be moving even faster. But you see that it is when we go into this systematic study that we have the opportunity to grasp the gems of God's Word in its various aspects. Solomon covers different things, and we realize how pertinent, how useful it is for us to guide us in life's pathway. And we are encouraged, we are strengthened. And so the Lord tells us that his grace comes bit by bit. We are to continue to tarry with him, not to forsake the assembly of ourselves. As we see the day of his coming approaching, we are to gird ourselves, to prepare ourselves. And as we come to the house of God, we would be brought to know the reality, to see the signs of the times, and understand time and judgment. And that is wisdom for us, because it will cost us to be on our toes, to realize that life can turn any time, but we are safe under the care of our God. So may we, may God strengthen and comfort our hearts as we begin this new year with him. May he grant to us the willingness to partake of every means of grace that he has given to us. The prayer meeting is one of them. The worship with his people. In June this year, we are going for our church camp. Exciting times as we pray and plan and prepare. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy grace in leading us to begin this new year, understanding thy authority over our lives. O God, may thou help us to realize how we need to walk with thee according to thy word, according to thy will, according to thy purpose. according to how thou hast placed us where we are. O God, may thou bless thy people with thy peace and joy, knowing that you make no mistake in leading us through life. O God, may thou be gracious to guide thy people, that we may walk with thee according to thy purpose and will for thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.